Family Information Raising Expectation podcast by the NOPBC. For more information, visit www.nopbc.org.
Family Information
Raising Expectations,
brought to you by
National Organization
of Parents of Blind Children.
Catch the Fire.
Join us
as we discussed
National
Convention.
Welcome to our third National Organization of Parents of Blind Children Family Information Call. My name is Melissa Riccobono. I am the president of the Maryland Parents of Blind Children, a board member of the National Organization of Blind Children, and your host for this evening's call. My husband and I, who happen to be blind, are parents of three children. Our son Austin is sighted and in third grade. Our daughter Oriana is in kindergarten, and our daughter Elizabeth is in a half-day preschool program. Both Oriana and Elizabeth are blind. I am extremely excited to offer all of you the opportunity to learn more about the National Federation of the Blind National Convention. Attending this convention every year has had a huge impact on me, and I know that this is true for the two guest speakers who will be with us this evening, President Mark Riccobono and Terry Rupp. So without further ado, let's get to our first speaker. Mark Riccobono grew up in Wisconsin, and he's been legally blind since the age of five. In 1996, he attended his first national convention of the National Federation of the Blind, and it was truly a life-changing experience for him. Mark was elected president of the National Federation of the Blind of Wisconsin in 1998 and served in that office until 2003 when he left Wisconsin to work for the National Federation of the Blind in Baltimore. He became executive director of the NFB Jernigan Institute in 2007 and was elected president of the National Federation of the Blind in 2014. Mark is a sports fan. He particularly enjoys baseball, especially the Milwaukee Brewers and the Baltimore Orioles. He likes football, specifically the Green Bay Packers, although he's been known to listen to a Ravens game or two from time to time. And he also follows Wisconsin Badger football and NCAA March Madness. He enjoys cooking, especially on the grill, music, traveling, and doing all types of activities with our three children. Welcome to the call.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
So I have a few questions for you, and the first one is I'd love to know a little bit more, or love you to tell, since I know Mark is actually my husband, for those who haven't put the last names together. So why don't you tell all of our callers just a little bit about your childhood? Did you know any other blind people when you were growing up, and what were your thoughts and attitudes about blindness and your family's thoughts and attitudes about blindness?
Well, thank you, and good evening, everybody. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this very important activity, which is our national convention. I grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and both my parents have high school diplomas. They good Midwest folks. They didn't know anything about blindness. We didn't have any blindness in our family. When I was about 5 years old, I was diagnosed as having aniridia and glaucoma, and my vision at that time was 2200 or so. So I was determined that I was legally blind, but I could see a little bit, 10% of normal vision, and that was that. There's no real discussion about what I would or wouldn't do. I just kind of went about my business, and we didn't know any blind people. We didn't know anything about blindness, and so I pretty much figured out after a time that my job was just to go out and do whatever it was that I could do. Now, a lot of the times I couldn't do certain things, and I certainly couldn't see a lot of things, but I learned that pretending that I could see things was a very good idea, because everybody was always happy when I could see something, and they weren't so happy when I couldn't. I went through school, and after a while needed large print books, and after a while I needed some magnification to read the large print books, and after a while I just had to listen to everything. I worked just hard enough and was just smart enough to get by. And because I didn't know any blind people, I figured that this is just what you were supposed to do. And so I learned to fake it. And luckily, I had enough drive to get by and that I didn't get swallowed up by the rough and tumble of the education system. And it wasn't until I met the National Federation of the Blind at our national convention that I understood that, in fact, I was a blind person, that it was respectable to be blind, and I could go beyond the very safe limits, protective limits that I had set for myself. I didn't have to fake it, and I could pursue the life and the dreams that I wanted to have based on my own ambitions, not on my own low expectations of myself.
So let's fast forward to that national convention. It was in 1996, and what was that convention like for you? How did it change you?
Well, you know, the national convention was in Anaheim, and I got a scholarship to go to the convention. It was part of a academic scholarship I got from our Wisconsin affiliate. And they said, show up at this convention in Anaheim. And I thought, well, great, a free trip for a college student like me is always a great idea, especially in a place where there might be a beach. And I showed up at this hotel and not really knowing what I was getting into. And I was instantly transformed by coming into the convention, just being in the convention space. Blind people getting around, lots of discussion about what people want to do and where they want to go and how they want to do it as blind people. People reading Braille at a speed that I could never imagine reading at that time. Just being in the energy of that space gave me a sense that there was something very different than what I had known. And I very quickly found out that, in fact, the space of the convention and the way blindness was thought about in the convention was normal, that the rest of the world and how it thought about blindness and the negative misconceptions that I had faced and the low expectations out in the rest of the world, that wasn't normal. What was happening at the convention was normal, and everybody in the convention believed it to be normal. And that helped me to begin to believe that it was normal and that I could do something about it. And everywhere I turned at that convention, and it's still true at conventions today, everywhere I turned, there were people who wanted to help me. They were prepared to help me by giving me ideas, techniques, resources, sometimes very direct mentoring about the things that I could do to improve myself as a blind person and stop faking it. And they didn't know me. They just knew that I was a blind person who was in a position that for many of them they were once in, that they had been in a similar place and that the Federation had helped them get to a better place and they wanted to pass it on to me. The convention was a very overwhelming experience. And it quickly became clear that I wasn't going to be able to absorb everything out of the convention that I might want to get, that I was going to have to eat the elephant one bite at a time, as they say. But that being plugged into the resource network of the Federation was really the most important thing. And that was a great comfort to me, because the seeing the power of the convention, the power of blind people working together to be self-determined and make a difference in the world was great. But knowing that there was a network of people out there who were prepared to teach me, to be there for me, and that I could call on them at any time, even outside the convention, that I had actually found a group that would come to be like family to me, was the most important thing about the convention, and I didn't fully understand it in that way at that first convention, but I had a lot of the feelings and the knowledge that that's what the people in the convention, that's how they interacted with each other. Now, there's a lot more I could say about the resources I ran into and the knowledge I got, but it was really the people and the energy of that space that helped begin to shape me and help me stop faking that I wasn't a blind person.
That's a really powerful story. Thank you for sharing that with us. So now you're a parent of blind children, and of course this call is all for families. So our next question is really, why should families specifically attend the National Convention of the National Federation of the Blind? What activities can they participate in, and what can they gain from attending?
You know, as a parent, you're always looking for opportunities, and what is the thing that you can do to help your kids be better off? And I'm going to say that the convention for parents of blind children, the convention truly is the single most powerful thing that you can do for your family and for your kids to get them plugged into a network. And as parents, to get you plugged into a network that will energize you, that will give you answers when you need them, that will give you someone's shoulder to cry on when you need to do that, but also that will give you the hope and determination to face the low expectations, the frustrating process of the IEP, all of the other things that happen trying to raise a blind child in the world where we still have so much work to do. Being plugged into that space that's normal and energizing is really important. So it's the single most important thing you can do. And you don't find that often as a parent. It's hard to get a one-stop shop like that, but our convention really is like that because you're going to make connections that are going to last far beyond just the week at the convention. So what should you do while you're there? Well, meet as many people as you can. There's lots of opportunities to learn this and that thing, but I would encourage you to interact with many, many blind people and to get your kids in the mix of meeting with many, many blind people. Just the experience of being around successful blind adults, going out to restaurants with them and being in meetings with them and doing activities with them is going to role model a lot of the things that you want your kids to grow up to be. Certainly, you should go to the parent activities and events at the convention. You don't want to miss those. But don't limit yourself to the parent activities because, again, what the blind adults around the convention are doing are the things that you want your kids to do in the future. And you want to get plugged into what they're talking about because in many ways they're talking about building the future for your kids. We're going to spend this summer, I'm certain, although the agenda has only been worked on a little bit, I'm certain we're going to spend a lot of time talking about accessibility in higher education. Well, our success on that has a lot to do with what's going to happen in the future for your kids and mine too. So you got to be in that space to get plugged into what people are talking about, but also so your kids know that there's something valuable there for them. Because when they get to be of an age where they're not going to be very interested in what you want them to do. They're more interested and think they have it figured out. You want them to have the idea that the Federation is for them, because it will be a lifelong resource for them. And this summer, you'll observe, will be my 20th year in the Federation, and I'm still finding ways that I'm benefiting and growing because of my active involvement in the Federation. So pretty rare where you can take a young child and give them something, which is this organization, that is going to benefit them for their whole life. And you'll find hundreds of experiences around the convention, both formal and informal. We have a lot of kid activities. I would certainly encourage you to bring them, besides the parent activities, to the general session, definitely the opening general session, and the opening ceremonies and the roll call of states, a very powerful experience for a young person. Now, they're probably not going to want to sit and listen to the Secretary of Labor or folks like that, but there will be folks, speakers that we have, that they'll want to listen to. Now, of course, I think they should come to the presidential report, but there'll be other speakers that might be of interest for one reason or another. We're always looking for interesting folks. We keep inviting the President of the United States to come. We've never had the President of the United States at our convention. We came very close last year. We might get him this year. You can't tell. And there's lots of places where you can go to interact with blind people. I would encourage you to bring them to the presidential suite, your family, your kids, and just hang out with the leaders of the Federation that come there. And I'd love to meet your kids, because that's one of the great experiences that happens at convention. I think that the informal, as much as the formal experiences at the convention, are the most important activities you can get into. Now, there's lots of kids' activities. We have a kids' camp, and we have a Braille book fair and all sorts of stuff for the kids to get into.
Yeah, we sure do. And, I mean, I think the informal and the formal. We also have our cane walk, which is fantastic if you have a newer cane user or if your child has used a cane for a while, but you're not quite as sure how to use a cane. It's a walk that both parents and kids can go on together. And then don't fear, if you have older kids, we do have activities, youth track activities for teens. So, I mean, there's really something for everybody. But as far as the informal goes, I mean, that has been extremely important. I mean, I remember very clearly a couple of years ago when our daughter had a very hard time on escalators, and it was just a really cool thing to be able to informally have people, different people, help to mentor her and kind of get her over some of those fears at the convention. And there's just so many experiences that are available like that. So, go ahead.
You want to get your kids into the exhibit hall because...
Oh, absolutely.
You know, a lot of places where blind kids get taken, they're told, don't touch stuff. And the exhibit hall has all sorts of stuff meant for blind people to touch, products and stuff. Now, you probably have to bring your wallet, so don't worry about that. It all goes to a good cause. But, you know, and there's lots of vendors showing off stuff that, you know, you have a little kid, you might not be thinking about buying them a $6,000 Braille device, but let them get their hands on it to understand what the possibilities are in the future and just to be in the mix of things. And we have, last few years, we've had, I don't want to call out any specific vendors, but we've had some very cool tactile innovations in photos and tactile drawings and people just talking about the cutting edge of stuff for blind people and opportunities to create access for blind people. And I think, you know, a blind kid's not going to get that experience walking into Target or any other store. And so you want to give them that experience as well.
Yeah, that's a great, great point. So I'm sure that you've seen the impact of the National Convention on many families throughout the years. Are there any particular stories of families or young people at the convention that stand out to you that you'd like to share?
Well, there are lots of stories to share. You know, I was just short of my 20th birthday when I went to the convention, and so I was definitely one of those young people. But I think the coolest, one of the coolest things are seeing little kids running around with their little bitty canes. And, you know, we really invented that notion in the National Federation of the Blind that when kids start walking, really when they start crawling, they should have canes. And so you see these kids all over the convention and, you know, they take over. It's like the space is there and they run you over, you know, doing stuff. And that's really cool. I think about some other experiences, though. When I was affiliate president in Wisconsin, or I guess just before I was affiliate president, there was a family and their son had gone blind 2 weeks before the convention. They didn't know anything about blindness. They got connected with our affiliate in Wisconsin, and they showed up at our convention in Dallas 2 weeks after their son went blind. Very powerful. They were still trying to figure out what in the world they got into. And in a lot of ways, there's no doubt they were still grieving about it. But they got plugged in so quickly that they really had no chance to even think much about what had been lost, because they immediately found opportunity everywhere they turned. And I wish we could give that to every family. I think a lot about the Smith family when I think about how we need to reach people earlier. And that's one of the powerful things the convention does for folks. And it's one of the best memories I've had of a family at convention. But then I also think about, again, passing the Federation on to your kids. It's going to be theirs someday. So I remember a convention where I came across a young man. I think he was just out of high school. I don't know if he had been to our convention before or not. I don't know if he had been to our convention by himself or not. I suspect he never had. If he had been at a convention, he had never been there alone. And he was standing at the bottom of the escalator. Just, he wanted to get on the escalator. He's trying to figure it out. No one had ever showed him. And I came along, just happened to be who came along. And I taught him how to get on the escalator. And for all I know, this was at the Shingle Creek, so we're going back there this year. We can find out. He might still be riding that escalator. Because I think then he went down the escalator and he came back up the escalator. But that happens to families hundreds of times at our convention. Not planned, but someone says to a blind person, hey, you know, can you show my child how to do that? Or can you do this or that? And people stop and do it. And I've seen that happen dozens of times. I've helped do it dozens of times. And that is always the part of convention I enjoy, when those teaching moments come up spontaneously. That's when some of the best things happen.
That's so true. And the convention is just such a great place for families, because so many people care so deeply about kids, because the kids are the future, and so many people want things to be better for kids than they were for them when they were growing up. So it's just, it is really amazing. I remember one of my favorite memories of a state convention in Maryland was a young lady who had a little sister, and her sister is about the same age as our youngest daughter, Elizabeth. So she was watching me pulling Elizabeth in her stroller, and she said, hey, my mom doesn't let me do that with my sister. Can you show me how to do that? And her mom was there, and her mom was like, oh, you got to push the stroller. And I said, oh, no, you pull the stroller behind you so that you can use your cane, and then the baby stays safe and you stay safe. And it was a very aha moment. And, you know, again, it's just one example, but that does happen all the time at convention. And so, I mean, I think that just sums it all up right there as to why families should go. So,
it's a very important point that I don't want to forget to say,
oh,
though, that sighted siblings, the convention is a very important place for them because they can get to know other siblings of blind kids, and they talk about their unique stuff that they talk about. I mean, you spend a lot of energy, parents spend a lot of energy, especially if they don't know anything about blindness, trying to figure it out. And sometimes the sighted siblings say, hey, what about me? But when they can get with other folks, sighted siblings at the convention, when they start to get in that environment too, they get part of the network, and they get as much out of it as anybody else, and it's an important part of the growth experience for them as well, and it'll help make your job easier when they really understand the type of expectations they should have for their blind siblings. So we shouldn't forget to mention that.
Absolutely. And actually, our next speaker, that's a perfect segue, because our next speaker is actually going to talk a little bit about that. So thank you so much for sharing what you think convention means and why parents should come. We will be taking questions for both of our speakers at the end of this call, so don't worry. We will be saving time for questions and for some discussion. So please save your questions until after our next speaker has a chance to share. Our next speaker is Terry Rupp. She lives in Las Vegas, Nevada, with her husband and 6-year-old daughter and 4-year-old son. Terry and her daughter, Marley, are both blind. In her 10 years in the NFB, Terry has served in many leadership positions and currently serves on the NOPBC Board of Directors as a board member. She's the president of the Nevada Parents of Blind Children, and she's the president of the Southern Nevada chapter of the National Federation of the Blind of Nevada. Terry openly shares her life through her blog, Blind Mom in the Burbs. That's easy for her to say. And it covers all things from being a blind parent, a parent of a blind child, her trials, triumphs, tears, and travels as a stay-at-home mom in the suburbs of Sin City. Although Terry attended previous national conventions, she attended her first convention last year as a parent of a blind child, and her family came along with her to share this experience. Terry, thank you so much for sharing your convention experiences with us tonight.
Thank you, Melissa, and thank you for having me. As Melissa mentioned, I have attended many national conventions. I attended my first national convention in 2006 while I was a student at the Louisiana Center for the Blind. I was learning all about blindness, learning about myself, learning the positive blindness philosophy of the National Federation of the Blind. And like President Riccobono stated, I too was tired of faking it. I no longer wanted to fake it. It was too exhausting trying to pretend to be a sighted person. I was ready to be it. And so I chose to take time out of college, attend the Louisiana Center for the Blind, and was thrown into the positive blindness philosophy of the National Federation of Blind. Since then, I attended every single national convention until the 2009 one in Detroit, which happens to be when I was 6 months pregnant with my daughter, Marley. I felt it was time for me to take a little bit of time off to be a stay-at-home mom and raise my family. Like Melissa said, I have two children, Marley, who's 6, and Jackson, who's 4. Marley is blind, like me, and Jackson is sighted. Once we got the diagnosis that Marley has optic nerve atrophy, just like me, I realized that my so-called hiatus from the NFB was over, because I am very passionate about the Federation philosophy, and I have always lived and shared the Federation philosophy. But now that I'm a blind parent, it's my duty to get back involved in the National Federation of the Blind, not for me, but for the next generation of blind children. So last year, we, all four of us, headed on a plane on the 4th of July and landed in Orlando. The first thing my sighted son said once we got to the hotel was, Mom, there's a lot of canes here. And he was really excited. He's always wanted his own cane. He just recently got his own cane. Since Marley has outgrown her cane, so we ordered her a new cane, and Jackson is so excited. He walks with Marley every day to the bus stop and taps his cane along with her cane. So, you know, we make it a family affair. The Federation really is a family. And, you know, the entire week, we just met so many other families, new and old friends, and it was just an incredible week for all four of us in Orlando.
That's great. I'm so happy that you had such a wonderful experience. It sounded like you really were finding the things that you were looking for, peers for your daughter and network for yourself. So that's wonderful. What parts of the convention were particularly helpful or memorable for your family last year?
You know, the convention was such a huge event. There were so many parts that we all found memorable. But I would have to say the three most memorable parts of the week that we spent in Orlando were the style show put on by the NOPBC. Marley, at 5 and a half, got to participate in her first fashion show, and she loves fashion. She finds anything and everything that she can get her hands on and makes dolls for her dresses, and she's constantly playing dress-up. So she had just gotten a fresh new long white cane, completely free of, you know, the nicks and scrapes that our canes get. We went shopping for convention. She picked out her own dresses for the style show, and she got to participate in a little fashion show. We got to speak as a family. We all got to speak at the Sports and Rec Division. Lisa Maria Martinez, who's president of the Sports and Rec Division, who's a very good friend of mine, asked us to speak on our experiences of our family and how we enjoy the outdoors, how we like to hike and camp, and we don't let blindness stop us. We use a long white cane, and we use hiking poles, and, you know, we explore everything around us. We've been to, I want to say my family has visited 11 national and state parks. And we, you know, our kids have a national passport that we take everywhere with us. And the last thing, and this goes in with what President Riccobono says, it's the informal as well as the formal. It's, you know, attending those, the seminars and listening to the speakers, but the most memorable moments of National Convention were the family time that we had, not just our family, but all the families that we spent time with. Luckily, we somehow got a suite almost as big as a presidential suite. And so our door was always open. Every evening we had families in and out. We had potlucks. You know, we ordered tons of Chinese food and pizza. For lunch, we ordered we just let everyone know, let your families know and go to the RUPS. It was, I believe it was room 1615. And just, you know, our door is open. Bring your kids, bring your families, and just come hang out. And it was a nice low-key way to relax and hang out. And whether you have kids or not, it was just a really great way to just kick your shoes off and talk about regular family stuff, you know, how parents, blind parents, can keep track of their kids at the park, you know, our blind kids playing with sighted siblings. That would have to be the most memorable part of convention, just hanging out with all the families.
Wow, that sounds like a great time. So obviously, as you mentioned, you have a sighted son and a sighted spouse. Were there conventions activities that they enjoyed, aside from the ones that you've already talked about? And did they gain anything special from convention?
Definitely. I don't know if we're offering it this year, but last year my husband, without me even urging him to, which is kind of funny because I usually plan his social calendar, he attended the dad's night out. So he got to meet other dads of blind children. They met at the, I want to say it was the pool restaurant or the pool bar, and he hung out with a bunch of other dads and got to know other NFB members. You know, he ran into a bunch of my old NFB friends and got to meet them. You know, we got a babysitter one night and we went dancing at the 75th anniversary ball. And our kids got to hang out with a 13-year-old blind girl. My son, like I said, he has always wanted his own long white cane. He just got his, but my husband was able to have his first sleep shade experience and got his long white cane, which we still have today. And he walked all the way from the room where the cane walk was located, got lost in the exhibit hall, cheated a little bit, found his way out of the exhibit hall, and walked all the way to our hotel room and back to the room where the cane walk had started, which had then been transformed to the style show. The kids participated in the kids camp, which is the daycare that's offered during the convention sessions. You know, adults attend convention sessions and kids attend kids camp. You know, there's arts and crafts. They get to go to a local indoor playhouse where the kids get to bounce the day away. And the kids even have their own banquet. Our banquet takes place during the last evening of National Convention. And the kids have their own banquet where a magician shows up, a balloon artist is there. They have snacks. They have their own banquet dinner and watch movies. So, you know, all week long are events for sighted siblings, sighted parents, blind siblings. There's so much. You know, Melissa recommended the book fair. There's a book fair where you can go and pick up Braille books for free and have them shipped to your house. Even the day after National Convention, we hung out at the pool, and President Riccobono would love this story, actually. Instead of playing Marco Polo, we played Riccobono.
That's hilarious. Awesome.
I don't find that unusual. Question. What else would you play at the pool?
That's right. Right. That's wonderful. So the next question has to do with convention. Obviously, we've talked about how wonderful convention is, and it is, but it can also be a little bit overwhelming for families. There's a lot to do. There's a lot of activities. There's a lot of people. What did your family do in order to cut down on the convention stress? I mean, it sounds like you just hung out and ate a lot of Chinese food and did some great things in the evening to de-stress. Was that pretty much it, or did you do other things to help alleviate some of that stress?
I was really fortunate to have my husband there and really fortunate that we all went as a family because we were traveling from the West Coast. So we were, every morning convention started at 9 a.m. Sessions started early and we were still trying to get adjusted to the 3-hour time difference. So we didn't force our kids to wake up early every morning to get to kids camp in time. I let them sleep in, and my husband dropped them off at kids camp while I made it down to the general session meetings, and he showed up a little bit later with a fresh cup of coffee for me. We tried the first few days. We tried getting there. We tried getting into the pool, but unfortunately, it is Florida and it is July. And every evening we were hit with a thunderstorm, and it wasn't until the end of convention that we were able to hit the pool. So, you know, we skipped one of the meetings and went out and hung at the pool because we had promised our kids all week long we would go play at the pool after general session was over. It's impossible to make it to every single meeting. There are so many things. There's so many different divisions, so many different tech seminars and just different things you want to go to, and it's just overwhelming, and you have to remember that there's always next year to make it to that next meeting. You know, I unfortunately wasn't able to make it to the IEP meeting, so I'm really looking forward to making it to the IEP meeting this year. You just have to listen to your bodies, listen to your kids, listen to yourself as a whole unit. You know, when we were getting ready to head out to the Braille Book Fair, we found my son asleep on the bar stool in our suite. So we just said, hey, you know what? Let's just skip the Braille Book Fair, and we'll just see if anyone has any books that they can pass along down to us. So, I had a parent on the NOPBC Facebook page who was willing to send me a bunch of books that her kids had outgrown. And, we just took our time and relaxed and made it to the meetings, a lot of meetings. But we just enjoyed every minute. We definitely, Melissa mentioned the presidential suite. We took advantage of the presidential suite. We had friends from Hawaii who were just a few doors down from the presidential suite, and we were up in their room for a little gathering. I realized my son had disappeared, and I found him playing with the Legos in the presidential suite. So while I waited for him to finish playing with the Legos, I found myself a nice piece of cake and a nice cup of coffee and just relaxed there and sat and chatted with, Melissa Riccobono. So it's all about balance and not overwhelming yourself.
That's great advice. Convention can also be very expensive. Do you have any tips for families on how to cut down on costs for the convention?
Like I mentioned, we luckily were given a suite when we checked in. We didn't plan it, but we arrived early enough in the week before the mass of convention goers had arrived. And I just so happened to ask, hey, I have a friend who has young children who has a suite. Would it be possible to get a room on the same floor? And we were offered a suite. So we took it without any additional cost. And I'm not going to guarantee that this is going to happen to every single family that asks, but it doesn't hurt to ask. Along with having that extra space, we were able to have a refrigerator and all the things, a little kitchenette. But if you aren't lucky enough to have that extra space, you should still make a grocery run. Take Uber or a taxi or go in with a few other people who have rented a car and go to the grocery store once or twice during the week, grab the essentials, milk, yogurt, cheese, sandwich supplies, bagels, fruit, a box of wine if you need one. supply yourself with your food that you can have, carry your snacks with you, granola bars you can snack during meetings, muffins and cookies to keep the kids busy. It's impossible to think that you're going to be able to eat out every single meal every single day. It's keeping your room stocked with food. I think we only ate out once our entire week at National Convention. We had walked with a couple other families, and we were going to go eat at Red Lobster, and the line ended up being an hour long. We ended up waiting close to an hour at Denny's, and it was the worst meal we'd had all week. My son threw a tantrum. He fell asleep in my lap. I had to walk back in heels with him asleep on my shoulder because he refused to let everyone else hold him. And we just wished, why didn't we just order more Chinese food or order more pizza and just hang out in the room and let the kids play? It would have been so much easier.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really great advice. Well, I want to make sure that we have time for people to ask questions. So first of all, Terry, thank you so much for your willingness to share with all of us this evening. If people would like to contact you after this call, how would they get in touch with you? What's the best way?
Send me an email. My email is my name, terry.rupp, that's terri.rupp@gmail.com. Or you can also visit my blog, like Melissa mentioned. It's Blind Mom in the Burbs, blindmominthebrbs.com. That's blindmominthebrbs.com. And I'm all over the NOPBC Facebook group page. I'm very easy to find.
Excellent. And President Riccobono, how about you? What's the best way for people to get in touch with you if they'd like to after this call?
You can send me an email at officeofthepresident@nfb.org, or you can call me at our national office, 410-659-9314. And you can also find me on Facebook or on Twitter by looking for @Riccobono.
Fantastic. Well, now it's time for questions for President Mark Riccobono or Terry Rupp. So let's get started.
Hi, this is Pat, and I'm from Utah, and it sounds like just a great experience. I'm kind of wondering about the logistics of it. So, like, do we just kind of show up, or are we working through our state to go, or what are kind of the logistics of actually just attending the convention? Thank you.
That's a great question. President Riccobono, why don't you take the first part at least, talking a little bit about pre-registration, because that's obviously a very important, and we should also mention the dates since we haven't mentioned them so far. I have it in my script at the end, but I didn't do it at the beginning. So let's talk about that first.
The convention this year is June 30 to July 5. It's a 6-day convention, and what you can do is look at our national convention page on the web, or you can look back at the August-September issue of the Braille Monitor, well, from any year, to see some of the convention highlights and things that happen at the convention. And, of course, there's convention information published in Future Reflections. You can go to nfb.org, and you can pre-register. You're encouraged to pre-register because it'll save you time from standing in line at the convention, and you'll save a little money. The pre-registration opened on March 1st and goes until May 31st. If you don't pre-register, you can still show up at the convention and participate and register at the convention. Now, the convention hotel is the Rosen Shingle Creek, and again, you can find all this on the web. And the room rates are phenomenal. This is a resort hotel in Orlando. You're going to get a tremendous room rate in the $80 range. The rack rate there is much, much higher. And you want to get a room as soon as possible. Rooms last year did sell out, and people got into overflow hotels and, in fact, into overflow hotels. There's a lot of ways to budget for the convention, but we especially like to try to help first-timers get to the convention. So we do have the Kenneth Jernigan Scholarship Fund, which is a way that you can potentially get some funds to support your first-time attendance at the convention. It's not a full ride. You're expected to put something in. There is information on the website or in the Braille Monitor from this month, and it'll be in the April Monitor as well, about how to apply for the Kenneth Jernigan Scholarship. And finally, I would encourage you to reach out to your National Federation of the Blind affiliate president. Oh. There may be funding support from your state and resources that you can call tap into.
Great. Next question.
Yes, hello?
Hello.
Hi, my name is Zinnia from New York, and I recently found out my 4-year-old is legally blind. And we have another son who's 7 who's being affected by this as well. So I was wondering, does the convention help guide us towards, will we homeschool? Will they help us with topics of homeschooling blind children? And also, how can the family get support?
That's a great question. Terry, do you want to talk a little bit about that? And then President Riccobono, if you have anything to chime in with.
Yeah. The first day of convention, June 30th this year, is when the NOPBC, the National Organization of Parents of Blind Children, holds our national seminar, or our annual seminar. And we will be holding a lot of different breakout sessions along with the main seminar portion on different topics. You know, I'm not sure if there will be a specific session on homeschooling, but just being able to connect with different educators who work in the blindness field and connect with other parents. Both your children will be able to meet positive blind role models. It sounds like this is new for you and your family. So like we mentioned earlier, President Riccobono and myself, like the earlier you're exposed to all of this, the better. And you know, something I wasn't even aware of at one of the sessions I attended, I never even thought of age-appropriate chores. And to be able to say your blind child should be expected to do age-appropriate chores. And I was handed a chore sheet by the person who ran that session. It just made me realize, you know, like my blind child and my sighted child, I do treat them exactly the same as I as any other parent should treat their child. And you're just being able to attend the convention and tap into the resources and connect with the parents in person is so much more powerful than just questions here and there, you know, on a listserv or a Facebook group. You're definitely pulled into the collective power of an organization.
Thank you very much.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
So again, if you have a question, thank you. Thank you for being part of the call. Is our next question ready to go?
I am here. This is Haley Dare from Michigan.
Hi, Haley. What's your question?
Hi. Well, I think everybody is well familiar with my story, but I'm wondering, for convention, what do you recommend for parents of partially sighted children?
That's a great question. So, President Riccobono, do you want to talk a little bit about that, and then Terry? I know both
sure.
of you probably have something to say about those things.
I neglected to say this earlier. In the National Federation of the Blind, we use the word blind to describe everybody who has limited vision to one degree or another, that they need to do some daily tasks using alternative techniques or what we call non-visual techniques. So at the convention, you got a whole range of people. In fact, a very small percentage of the participants are totally blind. And Terry and I both earlier alluded to it. I mean, we're both folks that would have said that we were partially sighted or partially blind or however you want to describe it before we came to know the National Federation of the Blind. What we try to do at our convention, though, is not get into putting a class structure on it based on how much people can see, but rather work with people to use and teach them the techniques that work best. That means there are times when your vision may be useful, but there are lots of times when you're going to want to use non-visual techniques, and we teach that throughout our convention. And so it's a great place for someone who has some vision to recognize that they can work on non-visual techniques. And in fact, it's a very safe place to do that because other people are doing it, and they won't feel like they're standing out.
Terry, you have anything to add?
Yeah, you know, I always like to think of blindness as like the ice cream chain, Baskin-Robbins. You know, Baskin-Robbins has their 31 flavors. You know, there's so many different flavors of blindness. You know, somebody might have one condition, some other person might have another condition, but functionally, we're all blind. You know, whether you can see or not, if you need to use non-visual techniques, adaptive technology, you know, if your child can't read regular print in a book in the library, then your child is going to be able to benefit from the National Federation of the Blind. You and your child are going to be able to significantly benefit from being a part of this organization and attending a national convention. My child, Marley, she runs around, rides a bike, rides a scooter. Her visual acuity, the numbers don't mean anything to me. She can't read print. She doesn't have depth perception. So she's blind. I'm blind. It's all in the word. You know, it's a safe word, and it's an all-encompassing word that we all safely use. And it's a powerful word. Once you can embrace the word blind and not feel ashamed of the low expectations that come with it, it can just bring so much power to you and your child.
Fantastic. So I think we have one more question, and that's perfect because we have time for about one more question. We do really try to keep these calls to an hour or just a little over an hour because we want to make sure that we're sensitive to everybody's time, and we really appreciate all of you taking the time. There's been some wonderful questions, wonderful discussions. Last question or at least one question. Are you here on the line?
I am. This is Penny Duffy from New Hampshire. We've gone a couple of times, and we've always had a good time. My daughter's 12, and I was wondering what kind of activities you had planned for kids that age.
That is a great question, and President Riccobono and Terry, you can certainly chime in, but I'm actually very much involved with planning the Youth Track activities. So let me just give a couple of things that we have in the works that I know are going to be happening, or I'm fairly sure are going to be happening, because I'm actually having a call tomorrow with the people that are helping with the Youth Track. And then certainly if there's other things that President Riccobono, you or Terry want to share, we'll feel free. We will be definitely having a get-to-know-you session where the kids will get to know each other. We will have a session where teenagers will be able to learn different board and card games. This was extremely popular, like way more popular than what we expected it to be last year. It was tons of fun. All the teens had a really good time. There's some younger folks that are helping with that session, and that's always a lot of fun. Also this year, we're focusing on style and fashion, and so we're hoping to have the young teen boys learn how to tie neckties. We're hoping to have the girls at least learn a little bit about a few tips for wearing makeup, or maybe good colors for them, things like that. Our hopes are that, number one, our kids will start thinking about the fact that looking good and feeling good will help good things happen. So, I mean, all that is very important for future job skills and all that type of thing down the road. But also we're hoping that more people will participate in our style show, which will be going on. Sounds like Marley had a blast with that last year. And it certainly is for kids, all kids, kids of all ages. So if you have a young person who wants to do a little bit of fashion show, have a little bit of a fashion show experience, you can encourage them to do that. We also are hoping to have some activities run by a blind chemistry professor, and there'll be many other things. We're really hoping for that age group between 11 and 14 that will have a very cool scavenger hunt around the hotel. So those are just a few of the things that we're hoping to have happen. Nothing is set completely in stone, but be assured there will be many, many activities for kids in that age group. And I don't know if President Riccobono or Terry has anything else to add that I'm sort of forgetting about other things that happen throughout the convention that our older blind kids might enjoy.
One thing I'd add is there's opportunities for young people to get involved in some of the divisions of the Federation. These are special interest divisions, and they might be potential, career futures for these young folks. And I would, this is about the age where it's good to get them to start exploring some of these things. And also our student division, and I bring that up because there's lots of opportunities to get in and build confidence and social skills just by helping out, whether it's doing some marshaling or helping at the registration table. And there's lots of good mentors around. And so I would encourage the divisions as another place to start getting young people of this age learning some things, but also helping out and building some important social skills.
Wonderful. Terry, do you have anything else to add?
All of the divisions also have really fun evening activities. I know there is a karaoke night. I believe the Colorado Center for the Blind hosts that, and the National Organization of Blind Students, NABS, hosts their Monte Carlo fundraiser night. And there's so many other things like that. For first timers, I would recommend everybody, parents and children, attend the Rookie Roundup. And that'll be taking place on the evening of June 30th. And that'll give you a little brief description of what's to expect at convention.
Wonderful. Well, we hope that this discussion has helped answer some of your questions and has convinced you to join us in Orlando, Florida for the National Convention of the National Federation of the Blind. The National Organization of Parents of Blind Children will be holding our annual conference in conjunction with this convention. And our conference starts early in the morning of June 30th. So please make sure that you're making your travel plans so that you're in Florida in time to participate fully in all the convention has to offer. And again, the dates are June 30th to July 5th. We are so glad that you have joined us for this call, and we hope that you will continue to reach out and stay connected with us and continue to support help us support you and your children. We hope that you will contact President Riccobono or Terry Rupp with any questions that you have, and we hope that you'll continue this conversation on our Facebook group or our Blind Kid email listserv. There are certainly many other families who have convention experiences and wisdom to share, and please feel free to share with other parents what you've learned tonight in this conversation. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. The National Organization of Parents of Blind Children appreciates you spending time learning and sharing with us. We look forward to your participation in our next call and in many other future calls. Have a great evening.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Family Information Raising Expectations, brought to you by the National Organization of Parents of Blind Children and the National Federation of the Blind. Please find us online at nopbc.org and at nfb.org. We also hope you'll join us on our next Catch the Fire conference call. Specific information about these calls can be found on the NOPBC's Facebook page, as well as on our website, on Twitter, and on our Blind Kid listserv. In the meantime, if you like what you heard on this podcast, check out Future Reflections, a magazine for parents and teachers of blind children, Voice of the Nation's Blind, a new podcast from the NFB, the Braille Monitor, the monthly magazine of the National Federation of the Blind, and the Presidential Release, a monthly message from Mark Riccobono, President of the National Federation of the Blind. All of these can be found as podcasts by searching National Federation of the Blind.